Saturday, March 28th. The night that preceded this dawn was no night at all. Lyndon's cold seemed to have gotten worse instead of better, with constant coughing and throat congestion and a heavy feeling in the chest, and several pajama tops sweated down. Finally, sometime between 2:30 and 3, two things happened about the same time. We called the doctor to come and see if he could alleviate the coughing, and there began a series of telephone calls about something vastly more important than one man's misery, an earthquake in Alaska. Colonel Connell was the first to report it to us, and then off and on during the night there were talks with George Reedy, Secretary Vance, Mac George Bundy, Governor Egan of Alaska, and Bill Moyers. So many calls that I finally went into the next room and went to sleep and didn't wake up until close to noon. It had been decided that since the press must be served, because it was there, some 40 or 50 strong, and with the dreadful story of the Alaskan earthquake to cope with, that there just must be a press conference, and so it was set for about 4:30. We wheeled out the draft beer, got plenty of Cokes and a big pot of coffee, lots of Fritos and pretzels on the front porch, and awaited the advent of some 3 or 4 Greyhound buses full of press that were to arrive at 4:30. Lyndon was in his Western clothes, I in my honey-colored stretch pants and boots. We met them at the gate, had some refreshments on the lawn, chatted, and then he invited them into his office for a huddled press conference. Then a great many of them had to leave in a hurry, since there were no filing facilities there at Stonewall. But some showed an inclination to remain, and Lyndon piled into his car. Dorothy McArdle, Mark Childs, Carolyn Vaughn, Marianne Means, and I into my car, Nan Robertson, Jean Franklin of Time, Chuck Bailey, co-author of 7 Days in May, and I think perhaps I might have had Francis and Helen at one time. And we drove over to the Scharnhorst, just as the shades of night were falling fast. I enjoyed particularly taking them around the perilous stretch of road that clings to the highest hill on the Scharnhorst.
The one
where the big boulder and the sharp turn make it the perfect place for the holdup of the stagecoach. The road where there is the view down into the valley that makes your heart sing. We were just about 30 minutes too late, but we did see at least 40 or 50 deer. Then we all rendezvoused at the Scharnhorst house, went in and replenished our beer or whatever, and then quickly back home to our ranch, where we bid goodbye to everybody except Marianne Means. They all left by plane for Austin, and then the nucleus of us remaining, that is, Lyndon and I, Jesse, Marianne Means, Vicky and Liz, helicoptered over to the West Ranch for dinner, where A.W. and Mary Ellen were already awaiting us, along with Neva and Wesley. The men had dominoes, shades of old times, and I slipped off to watch the last part of Marshall Dillon after we had had one of those dinners that nobody but Neva can put on so good.